following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzaretska, you know, though, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just, it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, live at Bandits in Grand Island. I'm putting the road miles on, and it's fun as long as the snow doesn't fly like it has out in the west. But we're back here at Bandits getting you ready for the weekend in sports and what will be a big Friday for Grand Island Athletics. Saturday as well, you've got most of the football and volleyball teams still playing. There's a doubleheader at Memorial Stadium tomorrow here in Grand Island. So come in, grab your lunch, go to the Grand Island Central Catholic game, swing back in. Now, this kind of depends who you're with, but if you want to watch that doubleheader football game, swing back in, have a little happy hour fun, then head back over and watch the senior high game. Great atmosphere. We're going to talk with Grand Island head coach Jeff Tomlin. We're going to talk with Central Catholic head coach Charlie Shoemaker here on the show today, plus Luke Hoover of RotoWire to answer all your fantasy football questions. I don't know about your leagues, folks, but the drop in ads in my league this week are about as many, and of course there are six teams on bye, so that has a lot to do with it. But I got a bunch of psychos in the leagues that I play in anyway, including myself. I can't remember this many drops in ads outside of the first couple weeks when you get that injury, and there's still some really good players out there. So we'll have some questions for Luke today. Steve Anderson, Fauner Park announcer, and the best roller skater I know, is with us again today as our co-host, and we are going to touch on the Breeders' Cup, our friends that were out at the Breeders' Cup, and I know many others, and had a conversation with our friend James this morning, who was at Santa Anita, and we'll get into the Breeders' Cup, especially about the Classic, and a lot of people kind of disappointed with how the biggest race of the year finished out. So that's all coming up today. High school football, state volleyball, and of course, again, if you're Central Catholic, you may need to go to the football game, slide in, grab a bite to eat, and then head down to Hastings College for the Central Catholic Kearney Catholic Championship volleyball game tomorrow night, which we'll have on Classic Hits 98.9. Northwest is playing their sub-state at home on Saturday afternoon. It's an off week for the Huskers, but there's not a lack of sporting events. And Steve, good morning. How are you, man?
I want to take a big breath after all. How do you stop and just let it all hang out, so to speak? This is a wild time of the year, isn't it? Take a big breath, Doug. Sit back and you always have to have a pretty big shoehorn to squeeze me in, but you're a busy, busy guy, and this next hour certainly is no different.
Well, right off the top of the show, we do have some times set for the teams that remain in Class D. We'll hit that, then we'll kind of backpedal and talk about the games yesterday. In D2, Kennesaw will travel to Falls City Sacred Heart. That game is set for Tuesday afternoon, 4 o'clock will be the kickoff. We will have that game for you on our network of stations in PlatteRiverPreps.com. Exeter Milligan will host Humphrey St. Francis in the other East semifinal at 6 o'clock. In the West, it will be Anselmo Myrna hosting Sandhills Thedford at 5 o'clock in Myrna, and then Maxwell heads out to Garden County, and we do not have an official time on that. Elm Creek will go to Creighton. That has also been set for a 4 o'clock kickoff, and we will have that game for you on Tuesday as well. For Fullerton, they are at home against Hemingford. They have set that for a 2 o'clock in the afternoon kickoff in Class D2. Bruning, Davenport, Shickley will travel down the road to Heartland. That is at 6 o'clock, and Friend is at Guardian Angels. No official kickoff time has been set on that yet. But, Steve-O, I watched, and I've been up and down Highway 30 a few times here in the last handful of days and used it to go to Fullerton yesterday. That was my game, and it was one of the closer games of our area teams yesterday. A shout-out to Blue Hill, gave Hemingford all they wanted, made that long trip out there. A football team that averaged, was in the state finals last year, averaged over 72 points a game on offense, and albeit Hemingford was waiting to finally play somebody, and then they almost got beat when they did. They're averaging 72 a game, and they were scoreless at the half. They win it yesterday by a score of 12-6. And then the game I have is 32-0 midway through the second quarter, and it ends up 40-39.
Terrific. When you bring up Hemingford, that takes me back. And you know how nostalgic I get. My first job out of college, I worked in Sydney for a radio station out there that literally was on the back end of a railroad car. That was the station, if you could believe this. But I used to go over into Wyoming, down into Colorado, doing Legion baseball games, clear up to as far north as Rapid City, South Dakota, and do all that at night, and then come back and sign the station on at 5:25 in the morning, you know. I ran out of gas after about 4 months. But I'll tell you what, I don't know how you do it. I really don't.
Well, contrary to popular belief, I still run across some folks that think that the first thing I do in the day is to come on the air at 11 o'clock.
So, yeah. Well, there you go.
Which is obviously not the case when we have a 7 a.m. sportscast. But it keeps us hopping this time of the year. State volleyball is next week. We're right around the corner from the state football playoffs. Every championship game will be right here on ESPN Radio the Monday and Tuesday that precedes Thanksgiving. We've got our Husker lunches. Three, hopefully four more if Nebraska makes the Big Ten championship game, and we'll have another one next Wednesday there in Kearney. So a very busy time, and I just wanted to get onto that football real quick. Those are the pairings and the matchups, and best of luck to the teams that are out there. And again, my game yesterday for Fullerton, if you follow high school football at all, you know the game named Garrett Sondrup. He's an outstanding wrestler. He's an outstanding athlete, no matter what he does. And he got injured yesterday. I've heard all kinds of reports. I made contact with his head coach, Ryan Houghton, this morning. It's basically in the evaluation stage. And unfortunately for Fullerton, you have to think that this is one of those things that if he plays, you've got a chance to make it to the state semifinals. If he doesn't, you don't, because it panned out last night. They couldn't do anything with him offensively out of the ball game. They had to rely on their defense to come up with three fourth-quarter interceptions to hold on to that one-point lead. And you hate to see anybody get hurt, especially when it's your best player on the football team. But they're going to take a crack at Hemingford, trying to make it to the state semifinals and stay undefeated. And then to Amherst, it just seemed like when they got that train rolling that they were just going to keep on scoring. And for as many points as we had, 79 in basically three quarters, to have no points in the last 10.5 minutes of the game was pretty astounding. And they come up an elusive point short. And in those kind of games, Steve, whatever the sport is, when you're a point or two short, you can always point at about 5 or 10 plays.
And drive you to drink or at least to prayer, yeah, of some kind. You know, back to the Sondrup injury, shades of Nebraska and Amir Abdullah. If he plays, we can beat Wisconsin straight up. But if he doesn't play, or if he comes back half the kind of player that we become accustomed to, we're in big-time trouble. So we wish the Fullerton folks all the best.
Yeah, we want healthy players. Everybody, nobody wants to beat up on teams that aren't at their best either. I've heard that and talked about that before, too. You know, you don't want to come in and beat somebody and they say, well, yeah, but Well, you want to go in and you want to beat the best and you want to be your best. And I know that's what Hemmingford wants to do. They want Sondrup healthy. They want to come out here and win and then return home for a state semifinal game. I have not quite come to grips with that. Within 6 days, I could be doing a high school football playoff game in Falls City and Hemmingford.
I challenge
the rest of my sports brethren to give me a better one. Falls City to Hemmingford. I know there's probably been guys that have had to do the Chase County to Pierce Norfolk Catholic dealio before because they have always been good in Class C football at the time. But we'll see if we can get a couple more teams winning and keep that train rolling along. As we said, we are here at Bandits in Grand Island. Come in for lunch. Tim and the gang are here 7 days a week. It's going to be hopping tonight because the Nedrex are here, a rockabilly old-time country band. Play that favorite kind of music that just kind of taps your toe, the music that you like. They can play a little rock, they can play a little country, they can put it together. And apparently from the CMA Awards last night, which I know you watched, Devo, we can't tell the difference between rock and country anymore.
You got that right. And I don't recognize anybody, including the host last night. I pestered my wife for 20 minutes. Who are these people up there? You know, ended up being...
But you kept staring at Carrie Underwood.
Boy, has she matured. But anyway... I did watch part of the CMA Awards last night. It wasn't by choice, but sometimes you have to relent. Oh, by the way, have I ever told you, I don't miss those old broadcast days, and I don't envy you one bit on what your travel game plan could involve into in the next few days.
Well, no matter what your job is, everybody needs to relax a little bit. Do it here at Bandits. Our lunch special today, a garlic chicken parmesan sandwich with fries, only $4.99. Are you kidding me? How could you do any better than that for lunch today? We've got the band tonight and then all weekend long specials. Even though it's not a Husker game, there's plenty of college and NFL football. If you're into the NBA and hockey, they've got that for you. Of course, horse racing on as well. When we come back, we're going to take a break here, and when we come back on the Doug and Daddy Show, we've got Jeff Tomlin from Grand Island, Charlie Shoemaker, Grand Island Central Catholic head football coaches, plus I want to get Steve's take on the Breeders' Cup Classic. It's coming up next.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
So you work late, golf, played ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just wait happy hour, I got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour. For everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
As some sunshine develops across the area today, we'll top off at about 57 for a high as northwest winds stay from 5 to 10. Then with partly cloudy skies tonight, we'll head down to 37 for a low. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now it's 48.
Doug and Daddy Show, Doug Duda, Steve Anderson with you here at Bandits in Grand Island. Come in and enjoy lunch today. Their garlic chicken parmesan sandwich is this Thursday's lunch special with fries for just $4.99, or pick anything off the menu. Wings, sub sandwiches, pizza, it's all here. Try something different today at Bandits. Coming up in just a moment, we're going to hook up with Jeff Tomlin, head football coach at Grand Island. Next segment, Charlie Shoemaker, Central Catholic. And get your fantasy football questions in for Luke Hoover of RotoWire. But Steve-O, obviously, you made the trip not to the Breeders' Cup, but I do want to touch on that for our horse racing fans. All the weekend is going to come down to the Classic and the controversy that surrounded the start, the inquiry, the non-movement of Bayern and maybe any other horse. I know a lot of people that if you have the winning ticket, you don't care. You're happy. If you don't, you're a little sore. And if you had no horse in the fight, which I'm sure you had to if you were watching it, then you probably also were a little disappointed. But up to the classic, your thoughts on the Breeders' Cup this year?
It was second to none, and I've been to four of these, two of them at Santa Anita, one up at Arlington Park in Chicago, and then froze my little rear end off down at Churchill Downs a couple of years ago in Louisville, Kentucky, and I finally made the conclusion that unless it's in a warm weather climate, the best seat in the house is just sitting at home and watching it on your 60-inch. In this case, I was with an aunt and uncle. I really had gone down to Tampa, Florida, to address some health issues that the family's having to encounter there. But I got the best of both worlds because Tampa Bay Downs is just right around the corner. And they treat me like I walk on water down there. So I spent my good fair share of the time out at the racetrack over the course of a couple of days. So from start to finish, the 13 Breeders' Cup races, it just seemed to work at the top of a crescendo and get better. The races were terrific. I can't report that on the money ledger I came out ahead, unfortunately, but it did come down to the last race, and had they have taken Bayern down, I had the New York, what was the name of the horse? New York? Taste of New York that got bobbed out for second in a $5 two-day daily double that went back to the distaff the day before, which was going to make me really healthy after it was all said and done. As for the Bayern and Classic race, I've only seen this once over the course of over 50 years of watching thoroughbred horse racing. So we're talking tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of races in that amount of time, where a horse was disqualified at the break. And the reason I remember it, it came right here at Fawner Park in the mid-80s. The horse was owned by my grandfather, and it was ridden by a young man, 16-year-old apprentice called Garrett Gomez. Mm. In those days, they ran 5.5 furlongs out at Fawner, Doug, which started, the gate was right in the middle of the grandstand, and the turns were not banked. It was imperative that you got to the front and you got to the rail as quick as you could possibly get. And this particular horse that Gomez was on came out of the gate, did a left-hand turn just like Bayern did. But you see those kinds of things. It's not uncommon over the course of any given race day that you're going to see it at least once. And lo and behold, the stewards that particular day were wanting to make a statement about the gregarious Gomez, if you want to put it that way. He was a very aggressive rider, all kinds of talent in the world. He wins the race by 7 or 8 lengths, and the inquiry sign goes up, and it didn't take 2 minutes. They disqualify this horse coming out of the gate. I've never seen it since. Not that it doesn't happen, but it's so, so rare. The unfortunate thing is the stewards always sit back, Doug, and say, how did this affect the outcome of the race? And they came to what I thought was a fairly quick conclusion, that it didn't. And I really don't know how, if you got in a debate, that they could say anything to convince me or anyone else otherwise in this regard. The best analogy I saw was from Jerry Hollendorfer, the trainer of Shared Belief, who went off the favorite. Mm-hmm. If you can imagine being in a two-man foot race, you and me, Doug, the gun goes off, and I stick my foot out and trip you at the start and then take off. Legitimately, that's almost what happened in this regard. The only other speed horse in the race that was going to go hook up with Bayern was Marino. He was on the inside of Bayern as well as Shared Belief. Both of them were taken out of the race in the first 50 yards. And the ultimate conclusion is the stewards did nothing. Now, I respect all stewards. They are God in my eyes, and I would never, ever question the outcome. But in this particular fair, it's unfortunate that it resolved into this kind of a deal. But quite frankly, I never dreamed that there was any way they would take this horse down. Now, on second and third reflection, looking back and watching the race, it really was the best possible thing that could have happened for Baffert and his horse Bayern to do what they did, go wire to wire and win convincingly.
Conspiracy theory, Santa Anita, Baffert.
I would never, ever throw that out of the equation. I'd like to think not. You know, racing doesn't need any more controversy than already exists there with medications they use on horses, some training methods that might be questionable to the PETA folks of the world, so on and so forth. But there are always, you know, in the back of your mind, politics, you know, that have, yes, some probably play in this particular deal. And I'm sure that somebody somewhere looks to see where does all this money go if, in fact, we do take this California horse down. Not probably good for business down the road in Santa Anita's case, which would be the home of the winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic. I don't think that was part of the equation, but I certainly would not doubt that those thoughts didn't cross somebody's mind.
Steve, a last thought on this, and then we'll move on. Because it may have affected the race at the start, by the time you get into the race, everything is going to be taken care of. It's hard to, I would have thought, fairly placed. I mean, you would have had to handpick the horses. And if you take Bayern down, what makes it fair that Taste of New York automatically goes to one? It would have been a totally different race. Does that play into the decision? Because most of these you see down the stretch where you run into each other, you whip the other horse, you bump the other horse, you cut into it coming around the last turn. That's usually where I think we see most of the inquiries.
Yeah, either going into the far turn or coming out of the turn, or in deep stretch when horses start to get tired and you see them start to waver on their course. I don't think this thing ever resolved around Taste of New York, and I know he was involved midway down the stretch the first time in a little bit of bumping as the horses were trying to gather position into the turn. This was strictly between Shared Belief and Bayern. And correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think Mike Smith, that was on board Shared Belief, ever filed an objection as a jockey, which also kind of baffles me a little bit. This was strictly an inquiry by the stewards. But I think the only thing they dealt with from start to finish over the controversy is if they disqualify Bayern, they've got to put him behind Shared Belief, which was, in this case, he would have been placed fourth.
All right. So there's your thoughts from Steve Anderson, our co-host today, voice of Fauner Park, joining us here at Bandits, where we hope you'll come in and join us for lunch today or anytime today and throughout the weekend. Don't forget, no cover for the Ned Rex Rockabilly Band gets underway tonight at about 7:30 here at Bandits, and all weekend, $2 root beer barrels and $2 Jeremiah Weed cinnamon whiskey all weekend long. $2, whoever your team is. Bang! Woo! Celebration. Throw one back. Time for our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you yesterday, how many teams from the SEC will make the college football playoff come December? As expected, everybody would be in that 1-2 range. 55% picked 1. 45% said 2. ESPNSuperstation.com is the place to vote on the Midtown Mart cooler question today. We ask you, with Nebraska on a bye, which top 25 matchup are you most looking forward to watching? And there's actually six of them. Of course, I'm going to say Michigan State, Ohio State right out of the get-go here. That's where game day is at. We'll have it for you here on ESPN. But if you had to pick another one, Oregon, Utah, Alabama, LSU, TCU, Kansas State, Notre Dame, Arizona State, Baylor, Oklahoma. It's going to be a great Saturday. I'm going to say Michigan State, Ohio State, 1. Notre Dame, Arizona State, 2. TCU, Kansas State, 3. And because I just think even that TCU, Kansas State winner still has a little bit in front of them. Not as much for TCU. Kansas State's schedule is brutal. But any of those that you want to watch above the others, Steve-O?
Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm glad you asked, because we've got a handicapping contest going on in addition out at Fodder. So we're going to play 5 racetracks starting at 1 o'clock. And, of course, we got all the big screens out there as well with all the football games going on. But with Nebraska not on the schedule this Saturday, it's a little easier to be distracted by what's going on with the ponies than it is with football. I really am interested in that Kansas State-TCU game. You know, the bottom line is with this picking the Final Four at the end of the year, Doug, what'll really stick under a lot of people's craw. And don't think that it couldn't happen. What if we'd have 2 SEC teams in that Final Four, which I think is going to happen regardless, but they both have 2 losses?
No, don't get me started. Don't get me started. And hopefully they play each other, but they won't. They'll make sure that happens too. Vote now. Our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and the coolest topics.
Well, the Islanders and the Crusaders both on the same football field. Not at the same time, of course, tomorrow, but it should be a great day for football in Grand Island, and hopefully a couple of wins can be picked up. Coach Jeff Tomlin of the Islanders joins us here as they get ready to battle Millard West tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And, Coach, postseason, playing well. Have to be happy that, obviously, you're in the quarterfinals with a chance to advance on to next week's semifinals. How's the atmosphere right now?
But, you know, it's good, Doug. Our kids have worked very, very hard. You know, they've been preparing for this for a long time. And so I'm happy for our kids and coaches that the hard work that they put in is paying off. And like I said, we're playing pretty well. We know we've got to play excellent. Millard West is an excellent football team, and so we're going to have to be at our very, very best. But being at home is a great boost for us. I like the way our kids are practicing, and we're staying relatively healthy, which is a blessing right now. That hasn't been the case for a lot of the season, so we're in good shape.
Your offense has been clicking on almost all cylinders here over the last month since that Millard South game, which was still a solid game for your football team. Do you like the way they've progressed?
You know, I do. I think we've plugged some different guys in, you know, due to different circumstances, and they're starting to pick it up, and we're running the ball a little bit better, and I think that's been a key. We shuffled our offensive line there about week 6, which is kind of a risky move, but, you know, doing it in the middle of the season, but we shuffled it up, and they're just getting better and better each week, and that's really made our offensive progress possible. Is the O-line play, and now we're able to run the football a little bit better than we were.
Talking with Jeff Tomlin, the head football coach at Grand Island, here on the Doug and Daddy Show. It seems to me, Coach, and from all, especially Islander alum, and you can always get that homer feel, but all of Grand Island, when you guys host a playoff game, going back not just to North last year, but any time that you guys are hosting a playoff game, it seems like it's more unique than maybe Kearney, more unique than Norfolk, more unique than anything that you can find in Lincoln. Do you get that sense?
You know, I do. I think, you know, we play in a historic stadium, and it's a really neat place. You know, our boosters and our fans, you know, they're just so supportive in every way, whether it be, you know, cheering you on for a football game or fundraisers or things that you might need. And I'm just so indebted to our fans and to our community that way, and so is our football team. And they do come out and support, and they get behind us, and we can feel that energy behind us. So it's a special feeling, and our kids feel that, and hopefully that'll be a big advantage for us.
And what about the city of Grand Island? As we said, Central Catholics are to play on the field. They're probably well cleared out before you guys have to show up, or does that change the way you prep tomorrow?
No, it really doesn't, and we're really happy for Coach Shoemaker and his team. We do a lot with Central Catholic in the summer as far as helping make each other better, 7-on-7 and that type of thing, and they do a great job at Central, and we're happy for them. We wish them the best, and like you said, it's good for our community that we're hosting two playoff games back to back, and I think it's going to work out, you know, time wise, just really, really smoothly and really well, and we don't anticipate any glitches in our preparation.
Talking with Grand Island coach Jeff Tomlin, I'm going to ask you about Millard West in a moment, but the obvious question is, and I know it's that one game at a time, but Omaha North is setting right there for a state semifinal rematch. I know the community is talking about that. Can you guys use that as a motivational ploy, or is that not even brought up? I know it's not brought up among the coaches, or is it?
No, it really isn't. Kearney's sitting right there, too, you know, for a state semifinal matchup. So, honestly, Doug, and it's kind of just our process, and people think it's hokey or cliched, but we really do go 1 week at a time. I couldn't really, honestly, right now tell you, even on the other side of the bracket, who's playing who, because I'm just locked in on Millard West. They're the best team we've faced so far, you know, by a long shot. And so, yeah, there's been absolutely zero talk amongst the coaches, at least. There might be some buzz in the community or whatever. And I know our kids are, you know, I can feel the little bit of tension in our kids. They know this is a huge matchup, and so they're very locked in on Millard West as well.
Well, Jeff, I know that Kearney and Grand Island communities don't always agree on everything, but I think they'd agree that it would be okay if the Bearcats played at Grand Island next Friday night.
Oh, absolutely. What a great deal that would be for Central Nebraska and outstate Nebraska football and the whole, you know, the whole situation. But, you know, we wish Kearney well, and it's, you know, it's a great rival. We have great respect for Kearney, and, you know, they do things the right way, and we hope that, you know, is equally thought of the other way, and I have a great amount of respect for Brandon and his staff and what they do.
We're chatting with Jeff Tomlin here on the Doug and Daddy Show in Grand Island on this Thursday. The football playoffs tomorrow night. They take on Millard West at 7. So, Coach, let the folks and the listeners know what your scouting report is on West.
Well, they're an awful good football team. They everything starts for them up front. They're very good offensive line-wise and defensive line-wise, and that tends to make everything else run pretty smooth on both sides of the ball. They run the ball really well. They've kind of hit their stride as far as power running game for part of their attack and then an option attack for part of their running game. So they're about 75% run on the games that we've broken down, and they try to you know, use the clock and shorten the game, and they play very, very physically and aggressive on defense. So it's going to be a great challenge for our guys, and because we kind of do the opposite. We try to speed the game up and speed the tempo up and spread folks out. And so it's going to be a challenge for us, you know, defensively, stopping their running game. That'll be the key to the game, I think.
Jeff, did the kids use the heartbreak from last year, early this year, off season, in the playoffs at all? How did you categorize that?
I think so. I think it was kind of two-sided. It was a good motivator for off season, and it was also, you know, something that our kids used as a positive that we can play deep and we can play against anybody, and we just got to continue following our process and working hard. And we've had really great leadership out of our seniors. We don't have many seniors; we only have 16, Only have, you know, we lost Tyler Schreiner for the year, our best middle linebacker, to an ACL after week 3. And so it's been a shuffle here, shuffle there, make up for this guy here, because we've had guys banged up. But that senior class is still the constant that we have in holding everybody together.
Special teams, always exciting. You guys, as you said, you got a little speed out there. Can you break one off tomorrow night?
Well, I sure hope so. I think our punt block, punt return team is going to be a key to the game one way or another. You know, switching field position and flipping the field. I think special teams is the kind of the hidden thing every week, but we try to spend a lot of time on it. And hopefully, you know, we'll have an advantage in starting field position you know, Leighton Keir and Tanner Cook do a great job of returning our kicks, and that they've been, you know, a shoestring away a couple times to bust in one away, and, you know, who knows? You know, anything can happen, and hopefully it'll happen tomorrow.
Well, sometimes you're working so hard that it's hard to enjoy the moment. Does your coaching staff get to enjoy the moment at all?
You know, we try to a little bit, but, I'll be honest with you. You get about an hour on Friday night to kind of enjoy the win, and then it's, okay, we got to get this game tagged, and we got to get it cut up, and we got to trade. And then the next day you come in and grade it and go over with your kids, and then it's right on to the next opponent. And, by Sunday night, you're pretty tired, and the opponent always seems real daunting on Sunday night. And so it's kind of a grind. And I always tell myself going into every year, this is my 28th year. I've been doing this since 1986. I got to enjoy this more, and I've got to savor the moment a little bit more. And I go in with a pledge every year, and then by about week five or week six, then it's just a treading water. You know, just grinding it out as hard as you can. And unfortunately, I haven't been smart enough to figure out how to do that. But one of these days, hopefully I'll be able to look back upon the coaching career and the good kids that I've worked with and coaches and feel pretty satisfied.
Well, holy cow, Jeff, you're the first coach I ever met that started coaching in the eighth grade.
Yeah. Man, you're a great guy. Love the heck out of you. I'm starting to date myself a little bit, but yeah, we've been doing it for a while.
Well, Jeff, it's always great chatting with you. We wish the Islanders nothing but the best of luck tomorrow night, so keep it rolling, okay? Thanks for the time on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Thanks, Doug. You have a great day.
Thanks, Jeff. Jeff Tomlin, head football coach, Grand Island Senior High. Atmosphere is great here when the Islanders play, and you got a doubleheader tomorrow, a chance to see two football games. We'll talk with Coach Shoemaker at Central Catholic in a moment. But even this week, I still hear a lot of stories about the Omaha North semifinal from last year. And if the Islanders win and North beats Kearney like they're supposed to do, then this semifinal will be rehashed again. Only this time in Omaha.
You know, it's almost, and I've lived most of my life here in Grand Island, born and raised, gone for 10 years when I was trying to go out and be somebody, you know, and be a clone of you, Doug, is what I was trying to do. But, I graduated in 71 at Grand Island Senior High in those days. Del Stoltenberg and Orf Qualsett were the football coaches. And they were having some moderate success back in those days. They had some great success in the 50s. And then things kind of waned for a short period of time after I graduated from high school until they found a guy by the name of Kenny Fisher. And he put Grand Island Senior High football back on the map. The Tom Rathman days were the glory days, but for the most part, ever since, the tradition has continued to grow. And Coach Tomlin, I don't know how he does it in this day and age. You know, back in the old days, the feeder schools, Walnut and Barr Junior High, it was fierce competition, and kids got a lot of football. They got football savvy because they got a lot of experience and a lot of playing time back in those days. I don't even know if they have any organized football in the junior highs in Grand Island anymore or not. You wonder, how do they get these guys as polished and refined as they are on the high school level when the feeder kind of groups don't seem to be out there? I know there's a lot of little peewee football going on, but at any rate, this is big stuff. We almost take it for granted here in Grand Island, and again, go Islanders.
We're going to take a break here from Bandits Live in Grand Island to talk with Charlie Shoemaker from Central Catholic. Still get your questions in. Luke Hoover from RotoWire answers your fantasy football questions at the end of the show. Stay with us.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Crete and Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Crete and Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Lift the hearts of others and let people know you care this holiday season. Spread joy with the help from Copycat Printing. Send greetings with personalized holiday cards, calendars, or festive stationery. At Copycat Printing, it's easy. Simply go to our website, carneycopycat.com, and click on Shop to browse through lots of new choices, both business and personal. Or make an impression and have your holiday cards custom made by our talented designers. Make the season yours with Copycat Printing and Kearney. Like us on Facebook for additional savings.
The reason for weekends is at Buzz's Marine and Kearney. Whether you want a fishing boat that can deliver a great time for the whole family or a tournament-ready fishing rig, fish from a smoker craft, America's first family of boats powered by Yamaha Marine.
I meet my buddies out on the lake. We're headed out to a special place we love.
From the huge live wells and casting platforms to the smooth, stable ride, smoker craft boats are the best value on the water. See the lineup today at Buzz's Marine, celebrating 50 years of trust, 5th and Central Kearney.
It's third down and six, but that doesn't matter much anymore. With only 4 seconds left, the Lions are down by 5 points, and it's do or die at the 16-yard line. The game hinges on this play. Here comes the snap. Blitz coming from the field side, and he's going to run with it to the 15. Cutting inside to the 10. Five.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability and internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of football season. Sign up for Prairie iNet Internet today to receive a $100 Visa gift card. Now you can stream your favorite TV shows and movies. Plus, when you call now, Prairie iNet will install your system for free. That's a $99 value, a $100 Visa gift card, and free installation just for choosing Prairie iNet. But this offer is for a limited time only, so call Prairie iNet for details now at 308-221-7844. That's 308-221-7844.
And welcome back to Bandits here in Grand Island. Doug Dudas, Steve Anderson with you on the Doug and Danny Show on ESPN Radio, the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac and Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Cadillac proud to extend special pricing to eligible military personnel on all 2014 models, active duty, reserves, veterans within 1 year of discharge date, and retirees, including their spouses. And to those who make us who we are, Chevrolet and its dealers proudly offer special pricing for educators as well through the end of the year. Current employees of a public or private school, university, or college are eligible to participate in the new Educator Discount Program and receive a discount on the purchase or lease of a new 2015 or 2014 Chevrolet. Check out the award-winning, fuel-efficient lineup to find the perfect vehicle for you and get an extra $1,500 educator discount off the manufacturer's suggested retail price. Military educators, we're there for you. Again, not just selling cars and trucks, but helping out the community as well at the Midway Auto Dealership, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, and thinkmidway.com. Well, Steve-O, I don't know if some of these Central Catholic parents can handle it anymore. Friday night, Central Catholic on the verge of seeing their football season come to an end, make a great rally, win it in overtime, goes down to the last play, extra point, as we said. And then I'm here Tuesday night, their volleyball team on the brink of elimination. They are down 2-1, and they come back and they beat St. Paul 17-15 in the fifth set. Charlie Shoemaker joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, how's the oxygen level over there in Crusader Land?
Well, it's been an exciting week, that's probably to say the least. It's been real fun for the kids and the parents, and just an exciting time for Crusaders.
I know that the guys want to go cheer on the gals want to go cheer on the guys. It sucks some energy out of them. Luckily, there's a little break in between those activities, but that's going to change on Friday. I know that here at home, Kearney Catholic has the exact same situation. How is Grand Island Central Catholic going to handle that?
Well, I think it's going to be a great day for our activities. You know, we've got the 2 o'clock game, and by the time that gets done, people have a little bit of time to kind of relax a little bit and then head on to the volleyball game. So, I mean, it's just a great time to be a Crusader, and everybody's having a great season, so we're excited about that.
Charlie, did the season take a turn, the biggest turn, I guess I would say, in the Kearney Catholic football game with the regular season? Because you guys have been playing well and may have been a slight underdog in that ball game, but really forced the issue, played physical, played like you wanted, and you've been on a roll ever since.
Yeah, you know, that really was the game that kind of turned our tide. Our kids, like you said, we were very physical that night, and it was from the very first snap. And we made sure that our kids made sure that they knew we were going to be there all night, and we were. And by the end of the game, we had come out with the win. So we're real proud of our kids on that, and that's really kind of catapulted us throughout the district and into the playoffs.
Coach Steve Anderson here. As a longtime innocent bystander that has observed a lot of high school sports over the years, it has always amazed me. And if there's one group, Doug, that can handle this day-night football, volleyball thing, it'll be the loyal followers of Grand Island Central Catholic. I know a lot of parents and parents that are now grandparents, and some are even getting up there, their great-grandparents that are involved with Grand Island Central Catholic. And even on bad times, I've always been so impressed, Coach, of the commitment and the loyalty that the fan base has for Central Catholic. So this isn't even a blimp in the radar screen, is it, as far as what you guys have to achieve tomorrow?
No, I don't think so. You know, like you said, we've just got a great support system here. This is a great place to be, and we've got a lot of great things going on here. And it's always great when you have, you know, most of your activities are doing well and playing deep into their seasons. And we've had good success in all of our sports this year. And, you know, the golf team did well and the softball team did well. And so that's exciting. And like you said, we've got so many people that come to the games. They still come to the games. We've got people that continue to work for us here at the school in the activities. So it's really a unique place, and there's no better place to be.
Had a state champion in tennis as well, as we're chatting with the head coach of the Grand Island Central Catholic football team, Charlie Shoemaker. Coach, let's talk about the opponent here. Ashland Greenwood is, as far as all the other teams, they're still fairly new on the block to be bouncing around there in the top three. I know there's some people that have hung around the traditional great programs that don't truly believe Ashland Greenwood's number one, and then I start talking to people that have seen them play multiple times, and they're not going to sell them out for anybody. So your scouting report of Ashland Greenwood is what?
Well, you know, obviously there's a reason that they're 10-0, and there's a reason they've beat people the way they have this year. They've got some kids that, quite a few kids that played on last year's runner-up team, and they've just got a good nucleus of players. They've got some really good athletes in the back end and some very solid linemen. So on both sides of the ball, they're very diverse. They're very physical. And we're certainly going to have to bring our A-game tomorrow night to make sure that we can take care of business.
Got to see a little clip of you guys on one of the local television sportscasts the other night, chatting with you and Brady Brokaw. There's been so much about Johanna being the face of the program here, but it is nice, and as we've followed and covered you guys and read some of the articles, it's more than Johanna and Brady right now for you and Mr. Pfeiffer, who's carrying the rock. Your line, I keep hearing physical, physical, physical. Well, that has to start at the line on both sides.
Well, absolutely. You know, those guys are, I mean, we're not a big team by any stretch of imagination, but the guys we have battling in the trenches, they are just doing a tremendous job this year. You know, they're used to playing guys that are 40, 50 pounds heavier than them, and they just fight every snap, you know, and that's just what they are, and they're doing a great job of that. And like you said, there's been so many people that have just played tremendous for us. You know, in the game the other night, we had a couple of our receivers that maybe had one or two catches all year. They came up with big catches on our last drive. And so, you know, we're starting to see kind of that one heartbeat with the team and the guys really pulling together. Everybody's got each other's back. And that's just fun to see and see the team grow into that.
Well, and it came down to an extra point the other night. We've talked, for the most part, you guys have been so good in special teams, and it came through again for you last week.
Well, you know, we feel like we have probably at least one of the best kickers, if not the best kicker in the state. He's just been clutch all year. I think we're 8-for-10 on field goals and maybe missed one PAT. So when we got to that point and we had blocked the PAT for them, in my mind I'm thinking, we score, we're winning, because he's going to make that PAT. So we have a lot of confidence in him. And there's a lot of things that go into the PAT, which make you nervous as well. But, you know, we've been pretty automatic there and feel good about all three phases of our game.
Coach Shoemaker, is Howard Schumann still got his fingers in the pie over there at Central Catholic?
Yeah, he's always around. You know
he was there in the 70s, for crying out loud. This must be ecstatic on his part to be a part of this.
Well, you know, Howard loves Central Catholic, and he bleeds blue, and he's as loyal as it gets, a great man to work for, and I'm just fortunate to have the opportunity to do that, and it's great for him to see that success, and obviously he's seen a lot of that over the years. Like you said, he's been here a long time, but he's just a great person, and you know, when you think of Central Catholic, you think of Howard Schumann.
Last minute here with Charlie Shoemaker, Grand Island Central Catholic football coach on the Doug and Daddy Show. As I say many times, Charlie, I know what the coach's response has to be, but I also know what the media and we have to do here on the show. We have to talk more about than just the game that's in front of you. Even when it's the state quarterfinals, I get the feeling that the winner of this game is going to be the favorite in the semifinal. What about the kids dreaming to make it to Memorial Stadium? That's for most programs, it's a dream no matter how good you think you are at the beginning of the year. And now you can see it.
And, you know, we've talked about that a lot. You know, there's a time during the season you don't want to talk about that stuff because you got a lot of things at hand, you know. But when you get to win or you're done, you know, they need to understand that this is a special opportunity. And a lot of people don't get this opportunity, and many people don't get it ever in their career, you know. And so they need to understand that, how special it is and how big of a deal it is. And I was just thinking of what I'm going to tell them tonight in practice. You know, we could go on and say, you know, this is a normal game, but it's not. I mean, there's no secret that this is not just any other game. This is a great opportunity for us to make history in our school. You know, we haven't been to the semifinals for 30 years. So just a great opportunity. And then when the preparation that you put in meets that opportunity, then you have great things happen. So we're excited about that, and I think the kids understand that, and they're ready to go.
Well, I have just been informed, and Charlie, as we kind of alluded to earlier, we're here in Grand Island doing the Doug and Daddy Show today at Bandits, and Tim over here at Bandits says that if you guys win tomorrow, he'll feed the entire football team for nothing. He has just passed out from a heart attack, but I think maybe we can kind of work something out there, Coach.
Well, we may have to take him up on that. That'd be a lot of fun.
He says, and if you win, don't worry, just go straight down to the volleyball game. He'll catch up with you guys later.
That sounds good.
Charlie, thanks for taking some time out of your day, and we wish you guys the best of luck. Go get another one tomorrow.
All right, thanks.
That's Charlie Shoemaker, head football coach at Grand Island Central Catholic. We're here at Bandits, and now Tim has a shotgun, and he's pointing it at me. I don't know what that means, Steve-O. What does that mean exactly?
It's not good, I can tell you that. Hey, you know, we're all excited about Central Catholic. I just want to share the fact I grew up with a lot of good Catholic boys.
We're all good Catholic boys.
But I watched the Tesmers, Bob and Kenny and Carl Tesmer play when I was a kid. Gary Schmidt was the big dog in the hunt back in the early 70s when I was still in high school. But they've fallen on a lot of hard times as far as boys' athletics is concerned. Like Coach Shoemaker said, 30-plus years since they've been in the playoffs. All the success, though, conversely, they've had on the girls' side of the ledger. Mm-hmm. You know, you get to a point where you get a little paranoid, I think, on the boys' side. It's great to see them get their due after all these years.
Steve-O, I'm going to have you pass the headset over to Timmy here because he has come over and he will confirm or deny quite a few things here. And then Luke Hoover of RotoWire is going to join us to talk a little fantasy football. Come on in for lunch here today. Garlic chicken parmesan sandwich, French fries, $4.99 here with our friends at Bandits. And Timmy, we got the band tonight. We got fun this weekend. Doesn't matter if the Huskers are playing. We've got football in Grand Island.
Yes, we do.
Now, what's going to happen? Am I in for half the tab, or what's the deal?
we'll work something out. Half the tab, or you know, taking off my bill.
Yeah, so I'm sure my boss would love to hear that. I've gotten myself into hot water, but we talked when we were here a couple of weeks ago. You're starting to continuously bring in more live bands, and you're going to have another one tonight. The folks in Grand Island really seem to enjoy it, and you're one of the spots that they can rely on to do that.
Yeah, and on a Thursday night especially, it's because I think a lot of people, you know, there's always a lot of people go out on Thursday nights, man. But there's not really a whole lot to do sometimes. Oh. So, you know, I started doing the band. It just kind of happened that Thursday night worked out better because weekends sometimes we're busy enough as it is to where it's find room to put the band. We're not like a huge place. So And I've gotten lucky and got some really good bands to come in here. So.
And tonight, Ned Rex rolling in.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
Yeah. They played here a long time ago before back when Andrew still owned it. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. They're a really good band. So
what else we got going on this weekend?
Well, we'll have all the football games on, of course. You know, no Husker game, but we'll still do in the NFL. We always do the large pizza, dozen wings, and pitcher beer for $20, and that always goes over real well. Then Saturday night, I don't know, we're just like I say, we're doing the $2 shot specials all weekend. See if that how that goes, and we'll just be rolling the bar just like we always do. So
kind of with some really chilly weather apparently going to start rolling in about next Monday. I see that the forecast pretty decent Sunday, so a lot of folks might get that last round of golf in, that last bit of yard work done, just kind of relax from the weekend. You guys will be here open 7 days a week. You'll be here Sunday to come in and enjoy your favorite sports, especially the NFL.
Yeah. So, and tonight I guess we do have my Brownies taking on the
baby. But this
Cincinnati,
is better than usual. So. It's better than usual. The Browns are in the hunt.
Well, I know. We'll see. And Johnny Clipboard's doing a good job sitting on the sidelines. So.
Well, Timmy, always great to be here at Bandits. We'll see you again in a couple of weeks. I'll let you get back to work, but thanks for being
here.
Right.
Hey, I might have a question for the RotoWire from my fantasy team.
Oh, yeah?
So.
What do you got?
Well,
hold on. Luke's ready to go,
I think. Is he ready to go?
So
I got to make sure I'm looking at the
we'll
team
here. We'll keep
you
up here. Let's go. It's time for our Doug and Daddy Fantasy Football Challenge. Go to ESPNSuperStation.com. Click on the Doug and Daddy banner, and you can fill out your fantasy football team. Again, this isn't a cumulative year-long thing. Each week we have a $25 winner with a gift card to Cunningham's, a year-end Super Bowl party for the winner as well. So sign up today at ESPNSuperStation.com. And I know we have this fancy opening for Luke, but we're just going to go right into it because Timmy's got a question. Luke, good morning. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. Ready for answer some questions, getting ready for the Bengals and Browns tonight.
Well, I've got our owner from Bandits here in Grand Island, Tim, he's a Browns fan. And amazingly, there are more Browns fans out there than I would have ever thought. We talked at the top of the show that with the bye week, I'm seeing more drop in ads in the leagues I'm in than a long, long, long time. But, Timmy, I'm going to let you start off. What's your question for Luke?
Well, on my flex position, do I play Greg Olsen, Jordan Matthews, or Reuben Randle?
You know, that one's pretty tough because Randle and Olsen in particular have really bad matchups. The Eagles have given up the fewest points to tight ends this year, so I've got him as a downgrade in my column this week, and I don't feel particularly comfortable about him as my starting tight end in one league. I really actually like Jordan Matthews with Sanchez coming in. You know, he's a rookie. He's probably got a little bit more reps in the offseason with Sanchez. When Sanchez was throwing receivers, he was throwing to those backups. The younger guys a little bit more often, and he did catch a touchdown from him last week. I would actually take a chance with Matthews. You know, that Monday night game, you know, I think there's going to be a good amount of passing there. I think they're going to let Sanchez unleash it a little bit.
All right.
Well, there's the answer. Anything else?
Thank you very much. No, that was it. That was kind of because Randall's going against Seattle, so that's probably not a good matchup either. So.
All right. Well, Timmy, thanks for the question. I'll let you get back to work. Jordan Matthews is one of those few guys that I added and have already dropped this season. So he should be really red hot by this time. Let's continue on with Luke Hoover of RotoWire here. What about this Sanchez deal? I'm seeing him picked up everywhere, and I know we've got some bye weeks. Is he the best option that's out there? Maybe because he's the only starting quarterback for sure this week that might be on a waiver wire?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's one factor, certainly. If you've been playing with Andrew Luck or Tom Brady, you know, a couple of the top quarterbacks on bye this week, and maybe you're not as confident in your backup, Sanchez is stepping into a system that's really going to let us see what he's capable of. You know, I think he's a better passer than was ever really on display for the Jets. He just didn't have the weapons there, you know, cycled through offensive coordinators. It was a bad situation all around, including at times the offensive line there. You know, he played well last week stepping in. Completed a high percent of his passes, you know, got in the end zone a couple times. He's going to make his mistakes, you know, until he gets, you know, shakes off some of the rust. But Carolina's defense isn't scaring anybody. You know, they can't really stop the run or the throw this year. They're basically the, you know, the Luke Kuechly show, and that's about it. So I like Sanchez to have a nice week and be one of those best bye week fill-ins.
Luke Hoover, RotoWire, RotoWire.com, answering your fantasy football questions. You can tweet them to us at ESPN, 1460, 1550. Of course, the email, Dent Popper inbox, the address, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. This comes from Mark. He says, in a standard touchdown-heavy flex, Mike Evans or Frank Gore?
It's got to be Mike Evans. You know, he's caught two just last week. I'm a little leery because Josh McCown is going to get the start, but New Orleans is a much better team at home. They've been particularly good stopping the pass right now, which the Niners have leaned on to move the football. I think they'll give the ball more to Gore, but I would still be surprised to see him find the end zone. He's only got a couple on the season.
This comes from Jason. I need to play one, Ben Tate, Jeremy Hill, Chris Ivory.
That one's very, very easy. Ben Tate ran 10 times for 3 yards last week, while Jeremy Hill ripped off 154 in his first start. Gio Bernard is out again. Hill is one of my favorite starts this week. I think he has a nice encore.
This comes from Tyler on the Twitter. I need to start two of these four wide receivers, Golden Tate, Mike Evans, Mohamed Sanu, Martavis Bryant.
Those are some very good options. I like all four of them. I feel like you really can't bench Golden Tate at this point. He's got the worst matchup by far of that group. But with Calvin coming back, it'll draw some additional attention away from him. He's gotten he's developed a nice chemistry so far with Stafford. I think he could produce another good game. Between the rest of those guys, I think Bryant probably has the best chance of finding the end zone. That Jets defense is giving up so many passing touchdowns. Ben is red hot, and he's found five in the last three games that he's played in. So I'd give Bryant a little bit of an edge, but I would say that Sanu is probably the safer of those options, just given how steady he's been all season.
Andy and Carney, our man with Matt Ryan at his quarterback. He's stuck with Matt Ryan. I hang with you there, Andy. Way to go. You're hanging with Matt Ryan. He wants to know who the better flex option is this week. Roddy White, Denard Robinson, Andrew Hawkins.
Well, Hawkins might not even play, and right now I really like Denard Robinson as potentially a top 10 running back this week and definitely a top 15 or 20 going forward the rest of the year. Over 300 yards rushing in the last three games, hasn't been below 94. He's got two touchdowns. Dallas isn't a particularly tough matchup against the run either, and I think that they'll lean on him, as the focal point of that offense.
This comes from Alan as we're talking with Luke Hoover of RotoWire, RotoWire.com, to answer your fantasy football questions. Get them into us. We'll pass them along. Alan says, Vernon Davis or Martellus Bennett?
I would have to go with Bennett. Davis has just been kind of a ghost in that offense this year. He's really not involved now that they can go, line up four wide receivers as well. I think they're going to have to throw it to keep up with New Orleans. But, so is Chicago with Green Bay, and Martellus Bennett had over 100 yards when they first met. He's just a much more consistent option at this point.
This comes from Ryan in Hildreth, and I'm with Ryan on this one here because it's going to nail me next week. If you look on your waiver wires in especially a 12-team league, even a 10-team league, but if it's a 12-team league, there's no running backs left out there. And Ryan says, all my backs are on bye week except Mark Ingram, which could be good. He goes, should I pick up someone like Charles Sims from Tampa Bay or get someone like D'Angelo Williams? There's not a lot to choose from.
Well, there's no telling what Sims will do, how he'll be involved, if at all, this week. He's been limited in practice. I really like his ability. I loved his college film and think he will get a good chunk of that offense when he's finally healthy. But at the very least, you do know D'Angelo Williams is going to get the football. It might not be a lot, but Philadelphia is not the toughest defense against the run. So I would probably give Williams a slight edge, just keep those expectations down. He only got 8 carries in their last game, but he managed 50 total yards. So the production could be decent.
Touchdown only league. Because of a bye, the choices are Kyle Orton, Ryan Tannehill.
I would have to give Tannehill a little bit of an edge. It's not a good matchup for him, and I love what Kyle Orton's been able to do, but Sammy Watkins now has come down with a groin injury this week. He sounds a little iffy. I think he'll ultimately probably suit up, but he could be limited and Orton just doesn't have that many weapons besides him to throw the football.
Luke, Steve Anderson back in the shotgun position on my two-week rotation here next to Doug. No RG3 questions coming for me this morning. Finally, Washington's on a bye. But I'm always amazed that there aren't that many quarterback situations that come your way, at least on our show. I'm faced with Tannehill and Carson Palmer in one of the leagues I'm in. You give us your take on Tannehill versus Orton. How about my predicament?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, in this case, we'd go the opposite way. Tannehill has been pretty hot, but again, the matchup going into Detroit's really pretty tough. And Carson Palmer's been one of the most consistent in football this year. You know, he was out those few games, but in games he suited up for, I believe he's right on 250 yards at least in each of them. You know, he's thrown multiple touchdowns each time as well. He's got the weapons. The Rams are not, you know, the toughest defense, though they've played better of late and really limited Kaepernick last week. That passer seems to finally be alive. But Palmer's also been one of the best versus pass rushes this year as far as, you know, getting rid of that ball, completed in a high percentage. I would roll him out, you know, very confidently and just trust
him. Okay, and in the other leg, I'm sorry to jump on top of you there, Luke. In the other leg, again, a flip of the coin every week. It's between Andy Dalton and Joe Flacco. How about this weekend? Which direction do I go?
You know, that one's pretty close, but Tennessee has had their moments where they've been good versus the pass. Dalton hasn't produced like what we're used to seeing, you know, throughout his career so far, but he's got A.J. Green back. You know, Mohamed Sanu, like I said earlier, is playing at a really high level, has been very consistent for him, and even Jermaine Gresham is starting to slowly improve and become more involved. I think Dalton has a better chance of putting up, you know, touchdowns than Joe Flacco does this week, even though they'll probably be pretty much neck and neck as far as production.
Last minute here for Luke Hoover of RotoWire, so get your question in real quick. We'll pass it along to him. Quarterback, Colin Kaepernick or Ben Roethlisberger?
Yeah, that one's a pretty easy one. I don't think there's a quarterback who would play over Ben Roethlisberger this week. 12 touchdowns the last 2 weeks. He's got the Jets on deck. They're as bad a pass defense as there is in football. That one's very easy.
Also, this comes from Chris in Kearney. What do you do about Adrian Peterson?
Well, I mean, at this point, if you have the room on your bench and somebody's dropped him, you know, it's not the worst idea to try to stash him and hope you can get a couple games late in the season out of him. But I wouldn't have high expectations for him returning to football this year.
You think he'll play?
I don't, personally. I mean, at least I'd be surprised to see him in a Minnesota Vikings uniform ever again. If they were, and I don't really see the reason that they would release him this season, but if that were to happen, you know, someone could take a shot at him, but you never know.
We're with Luke Hoover, always like the studs and duds. You just jumped up and down about Ben Roethlisberger maybe being hot for three straight weeks. They still have their bye to come here in a couple of weeks, but who else is a must play? And then again, which one of the normal guys that you would start, is it time to bench this week?
Well, we touched on this guy before earlier. I can give you a couple studs. Jeremy Hill, you know, Cleveland is tied with actually Cincinnati for a 31st in run defense. So I expect there's going to be a lot of rushing production tonight. You know, Hill leading the way there. You know, as far as another stud, Julio Jones, actually forgot to include him in my column this week, but you know, he's been down of late. He hasn't topped 70 yards in 3 weeks, hasn't scored since week three. But that last game he did score in was against the Bucs, you know, 162 touchdowns. They're one of the worst pass defenses in football, so I think Julio has a big comeback. And as far as duds, now this is going to come down a lot to whether or not Tony Romo can tough it out and suit up. But if he's not in that game, I'd be really leery about playing Dez Bryant. You know, the Jaguars actually limited Antonio Brown his worst game of the season. And with Brandon Whedon under center last week, Bryant only caught 2 of 10 targets. Just 15 yards. He salvaged the day with a touchdown, but you really can't count on that. And until he has some chemistry with Whedon, I really wouldn't want to play him with Romo out.
This comes from Trent. He says, do I play Dixon or Bishop Sankey?
I would give Anthony Dixon a little bit of an edge if and only if Fred Jackson is out. It sounds like he's been practicing in a limited capacity this week. he's one of the toughest guys in football, so he might try to give it a go if Buffalo will let him. And if he's out there, then obviously you have to downgrade Anthony Dixon. But Bishop Sankey really hasn't done anything to kind of justify putting him out in the lineup this year.
Tight end position, Gates is on a bye, and this is what's on the waiver wire, at least as far as some of the top picks. Richard Rodgers, Green Bay, Zach Ertz, Gary Barnage of Cleveland, and Clay Harbor, Jacksonville, Charles Clay, Miami. Is there one of those that's better than the others if you're going to play them for 1 week?
Well, I actually had a similar predicament. I've got Dwayne Allen out this week. It is a PPR league, so I like it a little bit better. But I'm rolling the dice with Clay Harbor. You know, Blake Bortles is targeted as tight end a decent amount, and Dallas is actually one of the worst defending the tight end this season. The Bears are dead last, so I could understand if you'd want to go with a Packer tight end like Andrew Corliss. But he's just not as involved in that passing offense as Harbor is for Jacksonville. And if you know Charles Clay has had coming off a nice week, but dealing with a little bit of an injury this week and might be limited against a pretty tough defense in Detroit.
And finally, I think we've had this question before, but this one fires off. I'll read it to you. When the hell is LeSean McCoy going to go off?
You know, he's starting to finally produce more. 100-yard game this last week just is not finding the end zone. They ended up giving a score to Chris Polk, who I like is a really deep sleeper this week. I think he's going to start to get more involved, and there is that chance that with Sanchez under center, they lean a little bit more on the run. But you know what? I would keep rolling McCoy out, trust him. You know, the talent is definitely there. The line is starting to gel more. And at least 4 yards a carry in the last three, and he hasn't been below 83 yards rushing. So it's only a matter of time before he starts getting in the end zone again and really giving you some big games.
All right, Luke, as always, we appreciate the job you do here on Thursday. And you had the right advice last week when I asked you Tom Brady, Colin Kaepernick, Ben Roethlisberger. And I just want to let you know I had Tom Brady in the lineup. And then they told me it was going to snow and the wind was going to blow 40 miles an hour, and so I put Kaepernick in and thus lost the league.
Oof, that's rough. I think between Brady and Ben, he lost out on, 10 touchdowns?
Thank you. Thank you. I wanted you to throw salt in the wound. I would do it again. You know, the weather wasn't as bad as they said, and it hosed me. I wasn't anywhere where I could change it back at that time. But such is the life of fantasy football.
I think you can solve your problem with those three quarterbacks by just dropping Colin Kaepernick.
God, it's amazing. It's amazing. Could I get anything? If I was going to trade Roethlisberger, what would you want for him right now? I mean, how much should I ask for a guy like that? Or Brady?
You know, you try to rip off a team that's loaded at running back or receiver, but needs that quarterback, and then just, you know, pick whichever you're hurting more at. You know, if it's the running back, try to add a high-end or high-upside running back. Maybe, you know, whoever's got McCoy in your league is starting to get a little frustrated, too, waiting for those touchdowns to come.
All right, man. Luke, thanks for the time. We'll talk next week.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
Luke Hoover on the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio. Yes, it's true. Yes, Steve, thank you. I benched him. Either one. I just,
you know,
damn it. 10 points.
I'm in the same boat with you. You know, by horse racing vernacular, it's called TMI. Yeah. Too much information. You know, if you just isolated yourself, and don't get bombarded by all the avenues of info that we have these days. Sometimes I think that is for the best.
Get the lineup, put it in your computer on Saturday, go to church on Sunday.
There you go.
Make sure you don't get home until noon. Then you can't really mess it. It's already been taken care of. Don't forget our fantasy football report brought to you by Cunningham's Journal, your fantasy football headquarters in Kearney, with dozens of high-definition televisions, including giant HD projection TVs, to show you your favorite football. Free Wi-Fi to allow you to follow your fantasy football teams as well. Coldest draft beer in town, a wide variety of appetizers, sandwiches, pizzas, wings, burgers, and more. Cunningham's, for every NFL and major college football game, all season long. We'll take a final break. Be back with more after this.
All sports, one source, two stations. KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Kroll Agency and Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska. Two names you know and trust. With locations in Hastings, Roseland, Kennesaw, and Minden, Kroll Agency has simple health insurance solutions for you, your family, or business. As an independent and authorized producer of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Kroll Agency has the individual health insurance or employee group plan you need. Kroll Agency is proud to be a Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska Diamond Broker. Visit them in Hastings, Roseland, Kennesaw, and Minden.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares.
Rocky.com.
Maintenance is cheaper than repair.
Now's the time to get your vehicle into Tice Auto Care for a winter checkup. Winter driving can take a toll on your vehicle, and it's important to make sure it's ready to take on the cold weather. Tice Auto Care can check your brakes, hoses, and fluids so that you're ready for the tough winter driving. Stop by Tice Auto Care and visit with Mike and the crew about your winter vehicle checkup. They're ASE certified at 3rd and Denver in downtown Hastings.
Maintenance is cheaper than repair.
The Hastings Museum and Platte River Radio present World War II bus tours November 7th, 8th, 11th, and 16th. This package includes a two-hour bus tour of the Naval Ammunition Depot with expert Walt Miller, the new 3D film D-Day narrated by Tom Brokaw, and a guided tour at the Hastings Museum, including the new photography exhibit from the National World War II Museum. $30 for members, $40 for non-members plus tax. Space is limited, so call to register soon. More details at HastingsMuseum.org.
At First National Bank, we believe customer interactions are based on relationships, not transactions. That's why we created First National Checking, to prove our commitment to you and the community. This is not a one-time offer, but a demonstration of our ongoing dedication to put customers first. No hidden fees, no surprises, no hoops to jump through. For honest banking with no strings attached, visit one of our offices today. First National Bank, member FDIC.
Good to Steve Anderson, live at Bandits in Grand Island, wrapping up this Thursday edition. Right? Thursday, right, Steve?
It is Thursday. Saturday, don't forget that handicapping contest. Jimmy Langan, if you're listening out there, we need you to get involved. He's been a big player at Fauner over the last season or so. $25 entry fee if you get in before Saturday, and you have to open up a bankroll of $150. And then we play Gulfstream. Del Mar is running again, a rare winter meet they got going out there for about 30 days. Hawthorne Racetrack, Turf Paradise, there's a fifth track. Absolutely, it escapes me what it is, but it starts at 1 o'clock, and we got all the football games going on, too. So if you're looking for something else to do, Doug, and your busy schedule, drop by and check it out.
I haven't been to Grand Island enough in the last 7 days. So, but what happens if I come over and win this? They won't like that.
You know, Jimmy's walked
Not
off
Jimmy,
with the money.
Your local boys, they're...
No, you've got the wrong impression of the local boys. I thought maybe I'd soften the blow with this arrangement coming over here and visiting with you. We like to share everything that we have here in Grand Island. We just want you to come over here and spend a little bit of it.
Yeah, well, there you go. Hey, folks, we were talking off air. The Dallas-Jacksonville game is in London, and they have just announced today that there will be three more London games next year. The Jets will play the Dolphins. The Bills will play Jacksonville. And Detroit has to go back and play Kansas City. Now, Jacksonville, that's kind of a favorite because they're giving up a home game almost every year because they're not selling out their stadium, and it's a lot easier to move them. Even though they're an East Coast team, being as far south they are, it's still a trip. But Detroit, I kind of thought they were getting to a spot where you wouldn't have to go back. I mean, there's 32 teams in the league, and I can also understand that they don't want to send Seattle and San Francisco and San Diego over there. But don't know what Detroit did to get shafted years in a row.
Are we moving to a full-time franchise in London?
Idiots.
And if they don't get one that just comes out of nowhere. Who gives up and moves over there from the States?
Well, I'll tell you what. Here's just a quick thought on that. And nobody's really brought this up because they all are starting to feel that, yes, there will be an NFL team in London. And I get it. They'll play 4 weeks. I mean, of course, who knows how they'll exactly do it. But I would think you play four straight home games. Then you fly your team over here and you play a month in the United States that you're not going back and forth. You go home for four. You come back for four. I mean, that would make sense to me. But I don't think they're considering that when you have a new team, then you have the kind of that draft. You have to protect so many players, everybody will lose some players, and then they have to build through the draft, and it'll be years before they're any good, maybe even longer because of the travel. But who's going to want to play on that team? You're telling your person, your family, especially if, say, hey, I've played, you know, 3 or 4 years here for the Houston Texans, and they say, hey, we're not protecting you, and you're going to London. I don't want to. Yeah, you don't really have a choice. You have to retire or just get out of football. People aren't going to want to move to London for half of the year. So,
if the price is right, Doug, you know, I was telling you a story off air about this retired European professional basketball player that I've gotten to know down in Tampa. Hasn't had to work a day in his life and never played one day in the NBA. Now, what does that tell you?
I know a guy like that, former co-host. I've had all kinds of stuff come in from, we've talked Breeders' Cup, we've talked the travel in the high school football, district volleyball, we've talked, obviously, the Huskers a little bit, high school football, and here, fantasy football. I was talking that I may be going from Fall City to Hemingford, possibly, in the next two playoff rounds. Dave and Carney says, Fall City to Hemingford, 516 miles. Omaha to Duluth, Minnesota, 532. So, basically, the
itchy-kitchy, as the Greek would say.
The same thing there. Let's see. Chuck says, we're going to ride to Harrison tomorrow. That's a six-man semifinal game out in Sioux County, out west of Shadron. So he'll be going to Harrison. And Chris and Carney says, he says about the Breeders' Cup, heck, it was a perfect start. No controversy for me at the Breeders. Of course, Chris also cashed a trifecta winning ticket.
There you go.
On the Classic, and that's where you have it. So we have went overtime as we always do, Steve. We could do this for a couple, 3 hours, and I always enjoy the time here at Bandits. Can we do it again in a couple weeks?
I hope so. I'm always humbled when I get the invitation. I miss my calling only because I was born 20 years too early, but I love every second with you. I just have one question. I listen to everything I can get my hands on as far as sports talk is concerned, and I was dumbfounded last night when Chuck Long, the old Iowa football player that he is on the Big Ten Network, calmly, coolly stated that Amir Abdullah will be just a shade of his former self, and there's no way he can come back and play at the level that we've grown accustomed to. Say what? Is that a possibility?
Well, and again, it just depends how much he knows. Your true reporting, you can only report what the coach is telling you. You can't go with a whole bunch of insider information. That's for the blogs. Coach Politi said this is nowhere near what happened to Rex Burkhead a couple of years ago that kept him out about half the season and really kind of sparked the beginning of the Amir Abdullah run. When you're talking about it, and the thing is, it looks so freak, the play that it happened. Everybody says, you know, it's just a freak deal, and it probably was. But it just depends on how serious the injury is and if he gets rushed back or not. And hopefully... or not, you know. Yeah. Hopefully, he's not being rushed back, and because the Huskers need Amir, there's no doubt about it. But we'll see how they come out of this bye week. So many things can happen out of the bye week if you've got to go to the backups and Cross and Newby and the rest of the crew. So.
And we should crawl into the top 10, shouldn't we? With the select committee's poll after this week, just by sitting on the shelf.
Well, sitting on the shelf, definitely a chance to move up and beat Wisconsin. I think they're in the top 10 in a couple of weeks, and there's still room for the Huskers from number 9 to number 4. Not near as far, so we'll see how it all happens. Again, the kickoff times for next Tuesday's Class D state quarterfinals in D2, Kennesaw at Falls City Sacred Heart. We're making the trip, 4 o'clock. Humphrey St. Francis at Exeter Milligan is at 6, and Selma Myrna will host Sandhills Thedford at 5. The Maxwell at Garden County game has been set for 2 in the afternoon. In D1, it will be Heartland hosting Bruning Davenport Schickley at 6. Friend will be at Guardian Angels in West Point, and that'll get underway at 7 o'clock Tuesday night. Hemingford at Fullerton at 2. Elm Creek up at Creighton at 4 o'clock. That's going to wrap things up here from Bandits. Thanks to Tim and the gang. Don't forget to swing by for their lunch today. Garlic chicken parmesan sandwich. French fries only $4.99. Tonight, the Ned Rex are playing. No cover to come in and enjoy live rockabilly, old-time country, and all your favorite music. Starts around 7:30 in this cover. This weekend, $2 red root beer barrels, Jeremiah Weed, cinnamon whiskey shots, and just great entertainment. And, of course, on Sundays, the NFL special, large pizza, wings, pitcher of beer, $20 for all the folks there. We do want to thank Grand Island's coaches, Jeff Tomlin of Senior High, Central Catholic's Charlie Shoemaker for joining us. Best of luck in the state quarters tomorrow. Luke Hoover of RotoWire, and, of course, Steve Anderson from Fauner Park. Steve, we'll see you next time.
Hey, I can't get enough, and we can't wait to see you and your listeners at the races.
Tomorrow, Jimmy Langan with his selections, Pigskin Pick'em, a little Husker football and basketball talk. We're tracking down Robin Washit and a whole bunch more tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.
Oh.